Hi, who's there?
This is Sheldon Hunter from Albuquerque. Is this the teleconference call?
It is, yes.
Hi, Cam. This is Shirley in Colorado.
Hey, Shirley. How are you doing?
Good.
Good. Hi, Sheldon. How are you doing, by the way? Hey, Shirley, just wanted to let you know that that actually that feature does work in the veterinary part of the program.
Great.
All you got to do is click on it and click on save, and then you can click on another one and click on save, and when you close it, they're all done.
Great.
Okay, just so you know. So I discovered that after the fact.
Well, better later than never.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we can make that happen, though.
Absolutely. So if you have questions about that, let me know.
Great.
Anybody else on who'd like to say hi?
Jonna Brown from Vail, Colorado.
Hey, Jonna, how are you doing?
I'm good, Kim. How are you?
I'm doing fine, thanks.
Thanks to Good for all these wonderful teleconferences.
Oh, I know. They're great, aren't they? It's nice
wonderful.
To have all these words of wisdom.
That's right.
Hello.
Hi, is that Frederick?
Yes, this is Frederick.
Hi, Frederick. How are you doing?
I'm all right.
Good. Thank
still
you for being on.
Still have some calls, but it's okay.
Okay. Well, we're going to just wait a few moments, Frederick, until we make sure everybody else is on as well. Frederick, you used the moderator PIN number?
Yes, I did.
Okay, good.
What does it mean?
So anybody else want to say hi?
Yes, hi, Kim. Paul Botter here.
Oh, hey, Paul. How are you?
Fine, thank you. Nice to
great.
Be here.
Good.
Hi, Paul. This is Frederick.
Hi, Frederick. Hi.
You're all right?
Anybody else want to say hi? We'll keep letting people say hi for a little bit until we start with the call.
Hey, John Munno, Tucson, Arizona. Hi, Kim.
Hey, John. How's it going?
Going well. Thank you.
Good.
Do you hear a buzz, Kim?
A buzz?
A buzzing tone, yes?
No, I think it's okay on my end. I'm going to mute everybody out in just a moment anyway.
Okay.
Anybody else want to say hello before we get started? Okay, well, let me go ahead and mute everybody out then. Can you still hear me?
I can hear you.
Great, okay. So let me go ahead and introduce you before we actually start the formal interview. We're going to use the same format that we always do, which is I'll conduct a formal interview for the first maybe 40 or 45 minutes, and then I'll open it up to the group in case anybody would have any specific
Kim,
questions. That
Kim,
they would like.
I am losing you. I'm going to dial in again, okay?
Okay, Frederick, go ahead.
I am losing you. I dial in again straight away, okay?
Okay, thanks, Frederick. See? People still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. I unmuted everybody for a second, and we can just talk a little bit until Frederick comes back on the phone.
Okay.
So who's that? Who's somebody new who's on?
This is Tony. Tony Trevino.
Oh, hey, Tony. How's it going?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, good.
Kim, this is Ahmed here.
Oh, hey, Ahmed. How are you doing?
Ahmed, this is Frederick.
Looking
Frederick, are you back on?
Yeah, back on. And it's better.
Okay, good. Let me mute everybody out. First of all, let me introduce Dr. Frederick Schroyens. I've known Dr. Schroyens now for close to 6 years personally, and I've always been incredibly impressed with his exactness, his meticulousness, his attention to detail, and his really amazing depth of knowledge about homeopathy. He's a student of the history of homeopathy. He's an active practitioner. He's a gifted practitioner. He knows the repertory better than just about anybody I've ever met. And for anybody who's ever read Blueprint for a New Repertory, you can see that he's got a very logical, very exacting mind. And he's really able to take things apart, understand them, and then put them back together in a way that is really unique and really helps to advance our science and art. For those of you who are familiar with things like the repertory views, the confidence levels, these are all things that have sprung out of Dr. Schroyens' mind. So he's a gifted homeopath, a tremendous contributor to our community, and I welcome you with very, very warm heart and warm wishes.
Thank you very much, Kim. Hello, everybody.
Okay, so, yeah, thank you, Frederick. And by the way, he knows all the great pastry places in Belgium, so if you ever get to go visit him there, he'll take you and you can eat the best pastries that you've ever had in your life. Okay, so Frederick, I wanted to start by, I know that you've come out with a new, brand new repertory. I know it's not yet available in printed form. I guess that's going to be coming out at the end of the summer, but it is already available in the newest version of Radar, and it's called the Synthesis 9 Repertory, and I thought perhaps people on the call might be curious about what's new in the Synthesis 9 that wasn't in Synthesis 8. Could you share a little bit about that with us?
Yes, Kim. That is a very good starting question. But first, I want to say thank you very much to you for organizing this. And it's a very, very special occasion, I have to say. And I don't know if anyone is aware, this is a very rare day. And even if we wouldn't be able to do this again very easily, because having this teleconference on this day is an exceptional thing. It's like a fourth degree in the repertory, because this Sunday is the 5th of February, and this only happens once in 28 years. So we're really going for a very rare and interesting occasion now. So thanks for organizing that.
Thank you, Frederick.
So back to your question. Let me first ask another thing. Do you all understand me loud and clear? Is my English okay for you?
I'll have to unmute them, Frederick, because I've muted everybody out. So let me do that so they can answer. Can people hear Frederick okay?
Absolutely.
I can hear him just fine.
Wonderful.
Great.
Yep.
Okay. Frederick,
yeah, I hear
it.
It's just a little muffled.
Okay.
Good. Hey,
just try to speak up as best that you can, Frederick.
Yeah, I'll speak up a bit.
Go ahead.
Synthesis 9. There's a lot I can say, but I would like to emphasize just five things, okay? And I will enumerate them first. So the first point is that we have integrated all the information of the different repertories of Berger and Bernhardshausen's work into this Synthesis 9 version. And this is a very big step because it concerns a lot of information. Then the second point is that Synthesis has always been a repertory which synthesizes information. Well, now we have taken a drastic step as to offering separate repertories as well. And so this is, of course, related to the software, but when we speak about Radar 9, this comes, of course, with Synthesis, but altogether with up to 30 different repertories now, 3-0. And then the third big change in Synthesis 9 is that we have increased very much the source information. So relating the information of the repertory to the sources. And I will speak about this into detail as I will speak about all the other things in detail. And then the fourth thing is, of course, there is new information. I can give you some hints about interesting new information. And more especially also new concepts with, among others, the concept of Roger Morrison based on its desktop companion. And then last but not least, this is the first time that we release a Synthesis version in two steps. So Synthesis 9, which some of you may have already, will be followed soon, within 1 or 2 months' time, let's say, by a version 9.1. This brings also some new interesting changes. So basically, these are the four to five different items of the new Synthesis.
Thank you, Frederick. Maybe, Frederick, you could just explain quickly, you mentioned Synthesis 9 and Synthesis 9.1, which is coming out shortly. Could you just clarify what the differences are between those two things?
Yeah, of course. I can start with that. So the difference is, first of all, we have continued our work, so there will be additional information in 9.1. Not a lot, but some months of work, some additional information. But the major thing is that in 9.1, we have done a drastic restructuring of the repertory. And I will explain you with a little example what this change is about. So people who have been using the repertory, the book, or even the software, they will know that there is some information hidden in the repertory. And I've been using a repertory since the 70s, and I used to have these little papers in between several pages with this hidden information in addition. Now, I give an example so you understand what I'm talking about. Let's say you have the rubric eye pain menses during. So pain in the eye during the menses. And this has 5 remedies, okay? Well, if this modality, that the pain in the eye is especially worse during the menstrual period, if this modality is important, then I may well want to consider all remedies that have this modality. And then I know that there are other places in the repertory where there are maybe other remedies. And it is the case. Like when you go to eye pain burning, there is another rubric, menses during. And when you go to eye pain pressing, there is another rubric, menses during. And also eye pain sore, menses during. And they do have remedies which are not present under eye pain menses during. But it is burning, pressing, sore, it is a pain, it is in the eye, and it does have, these remedies do have the modality of menses during. So it is very legitimate to consider these extra remedies if the important modality of our patient is menses during. And so we have decided that this hidden information, in fact, we will bring it to the front now. So that you will see in Synthesis 9.1, not just 5 remedies which have eye pain during menses, but in this case, 11 remedies. It goes up to 11 remedies. And so in this way, you will, in many, many cases, have more remedies for modalities, more remedies for sites, more remedies for localizations, more remedies for extensions, etc., every time because we put the the description part of the symptom at the last end, at the last level of the symptom. So to clarify myself, the symptom in Synthesis 9 is eye pain, menses during, dash burning. And in Synthesis 9.1, the same symptom, I'm not just making a mistake. In 9.0, it is eye pain burning followed by menses during, like it has always been in the book and in all other softwares. Well, now it has become burning at the end. And you have eye pain, menses during, burning. And by this way, all the remedies are easily visible and usable together at the same instance, the same page. Is this clear for anyone?
Yeah, Frederick, I just wanted to say that, you know, when you first shared this new concept with me, I was a little concerned about this new structure. But I have to say, looking at it, it's really amazing how much information we don't see in the repertory until this restructuring occurs. I mean, I think this is as big an advance in the repertory structure as has ever really occurred. I mean, I think until people see it, they're not going to really appreciate how much information they don't really have access to because of the previous structure. So I personally want to just thank you so much for realizing this necessary change, and I think it's just fantastic.
Yes, and I have given my first lecture introducing Synthesis 9 in London at the faculty, where by chance I was graduated 25 years ago at that same summer, last summer. Eh? And there were many people there, people whom I know personally, like Jeremy Scher, Brian Kaplan, etc. And I know they have been using the repertory for 20, if not 30 years or more. And I was very happy when I was explaining this change in the repertory. Even just mentioning the first words, they immediately said, yes, yes, we know what you're talking about. We know there is this tremendous amount of hidden information. And it is just true that most of the people, they only look at the obvious rubric. The obvious rubric is eye pain, menses during, and they do not consider the remedies which are under burning menses during, pressing menses during, etc. And it goes through all the repertory, all the pain sections in the repertory. So you can imagine how much more information you will really have at hand every time you look for eye pain menses during a similar rubric.
Thank you, Frederick. You know, Frederick, another thing that is an issue that we've been talking about with Roger Van Zandvoort quite a bit and is being more and more discussed here in North America, is this whole issue of the difference between the Kentian-type repertories, like Kent's repertory and synthesis and the old complete repertory, and the Bunninghausen-type repertories like the therapeutic pocketbook. Could you clarify this, the differences between these, and maybe share a little bit about it with the group?
Yes, it's very important to clarify this, because if, as I say, we have integrated the Kentian structure of synthesis and the Burger-Bunninghausen repertories, six repertories, then obviously we had to reflect on this opposition. There is some kind of opposition, some kind of difference between the Kentian approach and the Bunninghausen approach. And you may be aware that Kent has been, let's say, almost attacking Bunninghausen about this. So there is a difference. And I would like in a very schematic way, try to explain you how we have been handling this. Now, the difference is Kent, he has been aiming at indicating specific individualized symptoms. In Kent, you will find stomach pain, cramping, noon. So this tells you very precisely what is happening at what time. While Bunninghausen, he cut the symptom into parts and generalized them, and then in his repertory put the generalized parts. So in Bunninghausen, you will find just stomach noon, which means any type of stomach complaints during noon. So this is a generalized time symptom from Bunninghausen. So on one side, we have the specific individualized symptoms, and on the other side, the generalized symptoms. However, I would like to point out that this difference between the Kentian approach of handling the repertory, the Bunninghausen repertory strategy, is not so strong. And I will give you an example. In Kent, you do have these generalized symptoms. You have a lot of them, especially in the chapter generals, of course, like generals, eructations, amel. It doesn't tell you what is improving because of eructating. It just tells you it's eructations, amel. So this is almost like a general Bunninghausen symptom. But also on different chapters of Kent's repertory, we do have generalized symptoms. Just take a well-known rubric like skin, eruptions, itching. It doesn't tell you what eruption, it doesn't tell you where the eruption is, it just tells you it is itching. Itching eruption is a very generalized Bunninghausen-like symptom from Kent. And very interesting, look at the references next to this remedy, and you will become aware that Kent, in fact, has taken this and many other symptoms from his skin section straight from Bunninghausen. So they have taken information from each other, at least at Kent. Eh? And the same we do find in Bunninghausen. I give you one example, just one. You find stomach coldness in cardiac orifice. So it gives a precise sensation in a precise localization. And the Bunninghausen repertories are full also of these very specific symptoms. So it seems like there should be a way to integrate quite easily, in fact, these two concepts of repertory strategy. And in order to do so, we have taken only one decision. This is, we left the Kentian symptoms as they were, and we added the Bunninghausen symptoms in between. Concretely, this means that if you're looking for my fear of ghosts in synthesis 9 or in synthesis 9.1, you will still need to look for my fear ghosts. If you look for head pain eating after, just the same in the new synthesis 9.1, head pain eating after. So the Kentian symptoms or the symptoms of synthesis 9.0, 8.1, 7.0, etc., they remain exactly the same. So there is no learning curve. Then for the Bunninghausen symptoms, we have integrated them in the way that was, I think, very logical. We have integrated them in the way according to the Kentian rules of the chapter general. So if there are times which concern an organ, then we have added these times just as was done in the chapter generals. I give an example. So you know in generals there is noon, generals noon, that's it, very simple. Well, you do have symptoms like stomach noon, abdomen noon, back noon, which are the time burning housing symptoms related to stomach, abdomen, back. And the same we have done for the times, for the localizations, for the modalities. So you will find stomach eating after amel. This is a burning housing symptom. It doesn't tell you is it the pain or the bloatedness or whatever. It is just eating after amel. And in this way, we have integrated those two sets of symptoms, you can say, Kantian and Bernhausen-like symptoms, into one structure with a minimum of change, no change at all to the Kantian-like symptoms, and a minimum of change to the Bernhausen-like symptoms.
There's two things that, you know, here in the United States when we study the history of repertories, we learn that the Kentian repertories comes from Yar's, you know, 1835 repertory, and it's a different line than the Benninghausen repertory. I was fascinated by your comment that the skin section of Kent's repertory can be traced back to the Benninghausen repertory. Can you just tell us a little bit more about that? Because that's news to me.
Well, it is just an example because there are many rubrics that can be traced back from Bernhausen, not only in skin. And the interesting point is that in synthesis 9 already you can investigate this. The interesting point is that wherever this is the case, you can see it if you make the outer references visible on your screen. You will see these B2, B4, B7 abbreviations, and you will see that this is just a fact that Kent, even if discussing with Bernhausen and disagreeing with Bernhausen, he has integrated a lot of symptoms from Bernhausen. And then the other very interesting feature which some of you who have a research like mine may want to do is that you can then take such a symptom into the clipboard, you open the related Bernhausen repertory, which is available as a separate repertory, you take that Bernhausen symptom into the clipboard as well, and you repertorize those two symptoms. And to your very big surprise, you will see that very often, just all the remedies are exactly copied from the Bernhausen symptom into the Kentian symptom.
That's fascinating. It's very interesting. And it's not in any literature anywhere. I mean, that's a real discovery. You know, Frederick, another question I have is there's a lot of buzz now about Roger Van Zandvoort's new Benninghausen repertory called the Universala. Could you kind of just clarify the differences between the Synthesis 9 and the Universala, just so people are familiar with those how would you contrast them?
Yes. Well, if I may, I will first say what is similar, in fact.
Okay.
What is similar is that Roger also integrated Berger Bernhausen information in this Universala repertory. And I would like to say that he did it a bit in a different way. So I will explain you how we did it. What is the concept of our integration? We have first created each Berger or Bernhausen repertory as a separate repertory. So just a file open, here is the Bernhausen repertory. And this has been done in three steps by three different teams. First, adding the symptoms. Second team, adding the remedies and checking the symptoms. Then everything was printed in repertory format. And third team, comparing the result against the book. So in a very precise way, and I am proud and happy, and I believe we have a very high quality Berger Bernhausen repertories set in our new Radar 9. So the care for quality has been very great. But, of course, you can say, well, I would like to check it. And, you know, it is one of our main, one of my main symptoms. And like you just mentioned, the symptom of mind to the people, fastidious, everybody knows, not too many remedies. Well, here is another one. I like to communicate to people. And in order to communicate, I think we need two criteria, two qualities. The one is simplicity and the other one is transparency. So what we have done is that, I take the example of the Burger Bönninghausen repertory. For each of the symptoms in this repertory, we have created a link to the best corresponding synthesis symptom. And when you open this Burger Bönninghausen repertory in your radar program, you will see there is a little flag next to each symptom. And when you click on that flag, you will see to which synthesis symptom the information is linked. And as a consequence, also copied. And also the reverse direction is present. If you are in synthesis 9 and you see somewhere a reference, BG2, B2, or whatever, a Burger Bönninghausen reference as an author, I invite you to just click on it. And you will see from which Bönninghausen repertory, even the page number and the exact symptom, the degree of the remedy, everything is mentioned in the two directions. So you have a way to check in a very simple and transparent way what we have integrated from which source. And I think this transparency and simplicity to show what we did, and also by this approach to invite for further improvement if there may be a need for it, I think this is one of the distinctive features of our integration of the Burger Bönninghausen information into synthesis.
That's, you know, an amazing amount of scholarship, Frederick. Every day that I correspond with you and learn more, I'm always just completely amazed at the amount of effort that goes into the creation of synthesis. You know, a question that, and an issue that oftentimes bantered around here in North America, and the comment that you hear a lot is that the repertory is dead, you don't need the repertory. Now that we have these incredible homeopathic software programs like Radar, you know, we can do all of our analysis from within Materia Medica. Can you comment on that a little bit?
Yes, yes. It's in fact one of my favorite topics, I have to say. You may be surprised. Now, let me first of all position myself in relation to Materia Medica programs. So you should be aware, and Kim, you know you are, that Archibel, in fact, developed the first Materia Medica program ever and integrated the first, was the first to integrate Burick, Clark, Allen, ever, etc., etc. And so I think with version 2 of Encyclopedia Homeopathica 2 summers ago, we have taken again another quantum leap with the help of Kim and I'm sure some of the people who are listening down there in the States. We have added now more than 750 volumes of English literature to the Materia Medica program. So just to say that I'm fully backing up this development of Materia Medica software. Nevertheless, I have to say that I admire those people who tell that the repertory is dead. I admire them because they must have an incredible memory that goes so much far beyond my own capacities that I'm only left with admiration. I will give you an example. You know, you can take almost any rubric, and I have to admit to you that just a few rubrics I know by heart if there's not too many remedies. I have to admit that just a few bigger rubrics, I only know the second and third degrees, remedies, etc. But it is true that for almost every rubric, if I am interested, I go and look in the repertory because my memory is not just enough to remember all that. Now, if you have the symptom jealousy, of course, I can think of Apis, I can think of Calcarea, I can think of Hyoscyamus, Lycopodium, etc., Nux Vomica, and with the help of some of you, my friends, we may come up with some other remedies. But are you aware that this rubric holds 88 remedies now in the repertory? And things go worse if you cross jealousy with another symptom, let's say fear of being alone. Yes, I know, there is Arsenicum, there is Argentum Nitricum, there is Hyoscyamus again,
So we have a possibility, a patient being jealous and fear of being alone, we may think of Hayosyamis just out of the top of our head. We may think of Arsenicum just like this. We may think about Pulsatilla. But are you aware that if you do a repertorization of these two symptoms, that there are 36 candidates, 36 candidates, which will be, need to be considered in addition with other symptoms, etc., but just for those two remedies already. So I belong to the realistic guys who say, well, I still need a tool, be it a software or a book, to look at these rubrics and to know which are the remedies except Hayosyamis and Arsenicum I may want to consider. So for me, the repertory is still a tool, like Hahnemann himself in his later days said, we have so much knowledge now, we need the repertory, and he fully supported Bönninghausen efforts, etc. So since those times, we only got so much more information, so much more. So why suddenly would we have no more need for a repertory, which is just an index, a guide to use this information? For me, in any case, it is a very important tool that I use every day and I need it.
Yeah, I mean, Frederick, I couldn't agree with you more, but do you find that there are situations where doing an analysis from within the Materia Medica is advantageous? I mean, just in terms of using the exact language of the proving or the clinical of the patient?
Yes, 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 absolutely. If there is a strange symptom, then you may not find it in the repertory. You can just turn to the Materia Medica, absolutely. And also for the for other situations, I mean, let's take an example. Let's say jealousy. You may turn to the Materia Medica to find out how many remedies have jealousy. And I am sure you will find more than 88 remedies. Now, however, be careful. Some people use the word repertorizing in the Materia Medica. I think, I must say, I do not like this. Because I believe this is not correct to use a very precise word, repertorization, in this vague context. Because what do all Materia Medica programs do? They are based on word statistics. So if we enter the word jealousy and we run the Materia Medica program, it will search for the presence of the word jealousy, make a statistic throughout the text about the remedy. And then remedies like Pulsatilla, Nuxfomaca, etc. will come out very high because very many authors, they use the word jealousy very often while discussing Pulsatilla. It's word statistics. So this has an advantage because it tells you, listen, these are the very jealous remedies. So this is interesting by itself. I invite you a very interesting example is just the word pregnancy. And you know, maybe from your Materia Medica knowledge, the Pulsatilla and Sepia, they are very important remedies in pregnancy. But look, if you do this Materia Medica search for pregnancy, you will see that another remedy that comes up very high is Nux Moscata. And if then you go and read the Materia Medica, you will see that it's more seldom used remedy is also very often interesting for pregnancy. So there is a place. There is a place for analyzing Materia Medica. What then is the danger? Well, if you do the search for jealousy, you will see something very strange if you know Materia Medica a little bit. And it is the presence within the 10 first remedies of the remedy phosphorus. Now, I know I cannot have a feedback from the people, but are you aware how jealous phosphorus is? What is the situation of phosphorus for jealousy? And then, of course, you need to go and look to the precise text, which is the source of your statistics. And then you will be surprised to read that this author mentions that phosphorus is not jealous. And you read the next author, and he also tells you that phosphorus is seldom jealous, and so on and so on and so on. So phosphorus comes very high in a Materia Medica search on jealousy, not because it is jealous, but because so many authors tell you exactly that phosphorus is not jealous. Now, if you use this statistic analysis of the Materia Medica, to make a so-called repertorization, you're using very biased information, and you end up prescribing phosphorus, believing that phosphorus is jealous. So it's absolutely not correct, even for one word. And you can imagine how much more careful you need to be if you just type two words or three words in your Materia Medica search. Now, some of you may say, well, but there are all these tricks. I can indicate the proximity of the words. I can indicate the order of the words. And I know all these tricks. But I can give you so many examples that even considering all these tricks, still you need to go and read through the 20, 50, 500 samples of text which corresponds to your search criteria, and you will need to eliminate. You will need to eliminate authors and remedies. And it's only after you have done this that you will have a reliable rubric, Fear of Ghosts. And at that time, you have worked maybe 10 or 15 minutes reading through the Materia Medica on Fear of Ghosts. Now tell me, what goes quicker? Being careful and making sure that in your Materia Medica search program, you have a correct set of remedies corresponding to Fear of Ghosts, or looking in a repository to a rubric, Fear of Ghosts. Do you get my point?
Yeah, it's very true. I mean, I noticed the same thing with the word liar, you know, because in the rubric in the synthesis repertory, morphinum is in the degree 4. But if you type in liar because morphinum is not well represented, it comes way down the list, and you don't get an accurate representation of morphinum as a remedy that has that symptom very strongly. So I think it's a very, very good point that you're making. Frederick, would you mind if we move on to something else that I wanted to ask you about, which is in Radar 9, there's these new capabilities of confidence levels. And I've had a lot of people ask me to clarify what is the confidence level. Could you kind of share a little bit about that with us?
Yes. I will contrast confidence levels with degrees. So degrees, as most of you know, they indicate two things. Frequency of the symptom in the provings and frequency of the symptom in the clinic. Now, are confidence levels not just the same? No, they are not. And I tell you why. So you may have a symptom like consolation, amel, pulsatilla. And why is pulsatilla in the third degree? Because very often in the provings and very often in the clinic, consolation amel has been linked to pulsatilla. So it gets a third degree. And by that way, it is confident information, okay. But there are other types of information. There is other information, such as the desire for tea, which some of you may know. But not all pulsatilla patients do have this. So you will never have very many provings, very many times repeated in the clinic to the level of consolation amel, no. But the people who know, they can confirm, yes, I had pulsatilla patients, and some of them, they had this desire for tea, for warm tea. And while pulsatilla mostly is known for a desire for cold drinks, are you with me? No, pulsatilla has this desire for tea, and even if it is not very frequent, it is reliable information. So this clarifies, this example clarifies that it is not only the very frequent information that is important, but also information that appears less frequently may be very reliable. And this is why we have added another criterion, the confidence level of a remedy. So consolation amel, pulsatilla will have a very high confidence level, but in tea desire, pulsatilla also will have a very high confidence level. Only the degree will remain different because the frequency is different. Now the confidence level is even more than this. In fact, the history goes like this. When I was, making one of the most difficult decisions I had to make in synthesis 7, was the issue on quality and quantity. We had a history, the synthesis team, and myself especially, now here comes my third symptom, is that we go for quality without any compromise. And the consequence of this attitude over the years has been that we move maybe more slowly than certain other repertories, certain other people desired, because we checked, we triple checked everything. And then the number of people who said, well, listen, I want this information in the repository. I want more information. I want to choose myself. I will decide myself. But just put it there so I am reminded of it when I see the rubric. This group of people always became more and more and more. And even if we are with a huge team of people working on the synthesis project, I felt this discrepancy became too long and we had to shift. There was a shift coming up. We had to shift from quality to accepting quantity in a way, to add information that wasn't triple-checked more quickly. And it was 6 months' time, I believe, we have been discussing and reflecting and not feeling okay for me, I have to tell you. And so then I came up with this idea, well, if we can attribute, if we can indicate which confidence this information has, I can put it in my synthesis, because the moment someone says, I only want a synthesis, a repertorization, where I repertorize with the very reliable information, they can do it. And if someone says, I want all the information, we show instead of hide this additional information, and they come up with some of the newer remedies. But the people who really prefer quality, they can hide just with a mouse click, as you are aware, the information that has a lower confidence. And so I started writing a letter about this confidence issue, and I asked a very simple question. I asked, when you open the repository, the screen or the page, why do you believe that a certain remedy is reliable or not? And I sent this very simple question to some 100 leading homeopaths all over the world, and I've got a lot of feedback, very much of feedback. And there were so many replies, like some people say, well, I know if it comes from Kent, I have been using Kent's repertory for 20 years, then I feel this is more confident information. Some other people say, well, if it is information coming from a proving, I know this is the basis of homeopathy, then I tend to like this. I tend to prefer this. But on the other side, there were people who were saying, well, listen, I only believe the information if it has been verified in the clinic. So I prefer to see information that has been verified in the clinic. So I got all this information, and we put them together. There were some, I think, 10 different rules or approaches, whatever you want to call it, and all these constitute the confidence level. They indicate the way in which people have confidence in remedies. And then, well, this is a bit too complicated to explain just quickly, but we converted all these rules in mathematical formulas, and by using this in a statistical way, we then have attributed a confidence level of remedies to every single remedy in synthesis since version 8, synthesis 8. And the goal of all this is that everybody will know this is the remedy that you can rely on, and this is a hypothetical remedy which may turn out to be confirmed, to be interesting. But for the moment, it is just hypothetical. And it is just more transparent, and I believe more honest than just adding until the end of time.
Very, very important. Frederick, another issue that's very popular here, another aspect of homeopathy that's very, very popular, is this whole issue about families, you know, using taxonomical groupings or even other types of groupings other than taxonomical groupings in homeopathic practice. Can you talk about, have you addressed this at all in the creation of the repertory or the software, or can you talk about this a little bit?
Yes, yes. In fact, I don't know exactly since which version, it may well be version 5 or 6 or so of synthesis. We have, in fact, a family's repertory, which is hidden behind the screen, but which can be used. And the family repertory, like symptoms, it contains families of remedies. And so we have been working on this consistently several times already. And now returning to Synthesis 9, I can tell you that also in this level, we have made a giant step. And I don't know if Will is online, but he is largely responsible for this giant step of creating our family's repertory version 2.
You're talking about Will Taylor now, Dr. Will Taylor.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
He has been working over a year with other people to bring this family's repertory to the, I would say, the highest possible level you can imagine. And I will give you some details, just two. The first is that when you discuss families and you turn to the scientific people, and we have contacts with several universities, including here in Belgium, that the first word that appears is classification. Which classification are you following? Now, the homeopathic community so far has chosen to follow either Dahlgren or Cronquist. And I must say, when I talk to people, I got very interested by the people of the Institute of the Genome, you know, the DNA sequence people.
The genetic one, yeah.
National Institute for Biology or whatever it is called.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
And they have been sequencing so many plants and with DNA and with very drastic consequences, indicating that certain families should be split, should be merged, that certain species should be moved to another family, etc. And personally, I felt, well, I believe this is the future, the DNA sequencing. And so in agreement with Will, we therefore have decided that our family's repertory, our family's tool, will contain all three of these classifications. And anyone just can choose an option and then work with either of these. So enormous flexibility. And then the second point I would like to mention about the families is that we now have come with such an amazing amount of families on all directions that, let me see the exact figure. Yes, we have now up to 4,300 different families of groups of remedies in all ways, because of biological relationship, because of homeopathic relationship, because of diathesis, because of miasmatic relationship. Recently, we also have the families according to the miasmas of Shankaran. So we have over 4,300 different families, and they describe within these families over 60,000 remedies. So I believe the tool now has become on a very high level, and with Radar 9, you can now also repertorize by remedies and by families. So with Radar 9, this tool becomes really visible and usable very, very easily.
Thank you, Frederick. Well, you know, we're running out of time, and I do want to give people an opportunity to ask questions. I'm sure that this has been a very stimulating discussion for a lot of people. But before I do that, I just want to ask you very quickly, where could people see you? Are you doing any seminars? And also, if people want to reach you personally, if they have questions or want to discuss issues with you, how can they do that? So are you teaching anywhere, and how can people reach you?
Well, three questions. The first is the easiest. People can see me where I am sitting right now. When they go to the Archibel website, and www.archibel.com, are you with me? And they go to About Us, they will see on that page scientific department. And on the next page, if they click on my name, they will see me where I am sitting right now. So that's easy, okay? Then the second question, how can they reach me, is more difficult, I have to say. I do have an email address, and it's just frederick@archibel.com. However, I have
to... Why don't you spell it, Frederick, because they may not know how to spell your name.
Well, they can spell it either way. We put it aliases in five ways. So even
okay.
In Croatian, you can email to frederick@archibel.com. No worries. Okay? And the problem, however, is that I have so many emails on a yearly basis, about 10,000, I must say, disregarding spam, that I must apologize for sure to some of you listening to me now, that every year there is a few hundreds of emails I don't reply. I cannot get out of it. So emailing me is, you can do it, of course. And especially after this call, I will be attentive. And if you want to respond or say something or ask something, I will be very attentive, especially because of this call, to try and reply some of the emails I will be getting in the coming days. Don't get me wrong. I will make an effort. But I have to tell you that I'm trying to organize myself to get some of these email slots off my shoulders. And so there is two or three ways. The first way, if you have an important thing to ask me, I think the best way is to go through your representative. Yeah, because, of course, these people like him, they support our repertory, our program so much that we are in touch on a very regular basis, and I think they are the best people to tell me, listen, this person has sent you an email or will send you an email or a fax or a file or whatever. Pay attention. It's interesting, important. The second point is that we have a number of emails where you can reach directly some of my staff. So if you have an error to mention about synthesis, and I am the first one to say, please mention the errors. I'm not going to say everything is perfect. I am inviting you, please mention the errors. Then you can straight away email the persons responsible for this. And the emails are very easy. Synthesis@archibel.com is the one for synthesis. eh@archibel.com is the one for eh. And radar@archibel.com is the one for radar. Okay? And then the third possibility is to use the forum. On the website is the forum. And myself and a number of the core people of our synthesis team are looking at that forum regular times and will reply to some of the topics posted there. So you're welcome to join the forum as well. So these are the ways to get in touch with me.
Thank you, Frederick, so much for such a really engaging and stimulating discussion. I'm going to unmute the call so other people can ask questions.
Tim, can you hear me?
Hold on a second.
Tim, wait.
Okay, are people still there?
No, Kim, wait. You lost
your
point. You hear me? Hello.
I can hear you, yeah?
Yes. I have not yet replied to your third point.
Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yes. So actually, see me on the screen was number one. Write to me, contact me was number two. Of course, when you're a homeopath and you pass by in Ghent, you're welcome. If you don't stay for 3 days and 3 nights, no problem at all. Me too. And Ghent is a very nice city. Again, on the internet, www.gent.be, you will see it's a medieval city, very nice. But the real thing is that my next seminar, I have a big seminar in Greece, in Alonissos, in June. And that's where I would like to see some of you. Now, the seminar is mentioned on the international calendar of KIM. The date, to be precise, is June 10 to 14. And on the website, on the calendar of KIM, you find the link to get information or possibly subscribe you to that event. And so I would very much like to meet you there and to listen to your questions and have more of an interaction than is possible during this very interesting telephone conference, of course.
Well, I just want to reiterate, on top of learning from a master homeopath like yourself, Alonissos, which is a beautiful island in Greece in June, is an absolutely gorgeous place to be. So if you want to learn some really good homeopathy and also have a wonderful vacation on an idyllic island in the Mediterranean, I can't recommend any place higher than that. So anyway, let me unmute everybody in case people have other questions. Hold on. Thank you again, Frederick. You did a great job. Hold on. Can people hear me? Yes, people back on?
Yep. Still hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Does anybody have any questions? We don't have too much time, but we have time for a couple of questions.
You know that Kent traced all the symptoms and all the remedies under the rubrics by looking at all the reliable literature in homeopathy that had come through since 1796.
1796, yes.
And, Frederick, you are aware that I made a comment of this in my book.
Yes.
A Guide to Kent Repertory. So I think that what you have done probably is much more than what Kent did, because you have incorporated many more things than Kent did. Is this correct?
Yes. In Synthesis 9, we have used 805 sources. 805.
So Kent was not able to do as much as you did.
Well, I am not alone, Ahmed. You are one of the people who are helping me. Thanks very much.
No, it is a great privilege for me to be with you. In fact, I really wish to come and unload to you all my editions.
Yes.
You will allow me to come wherever you want.
Yes, we will discuss private things on a private call, okay?
Yes. Thank you very much for your conference. I was very inspired by you.
Thanks, Ahmed, for your feedback.
Anybody else has a question that they would like to ask?
Is everything which is in the Boninhausen repertory that's on radar, is that also already included in the number 9 edition?
Well, I discussed 6 repertories. You are aware that Berger and Boninhausen have 6 repertories, okay? And the majority of that information is in Synthesis 9 already. So I will be precise. We have, for Boninhausen, you have the therapeutic pocketbook, fully integrated, and you have the, what they call the systematisches alphabetisches Repertorium, which has 2 parts, psoric and non-apsoric remedies, and this has also been integrated. And then from Berger, you have the general analysis, you have the synoptic key or prescriber, and you have, of course, the Berger-Boninhausen repertory, the biggest work. And so all of these, except the 2 smaller books of Berger himself, have been integrated. So it does include all the Boninhausen information and the Berger-Boninhausen repertory. And in addition to that, I have to say, we also have the famous handwritten editions of Boninhausen. I don't know if you are aware that the son of Boninhausen many years collected his father's last edition on a printed copy of his repertory. And the copies of this are in Switzerland in the library of Pierre Schmidt. And from the originals there, we have also added I think it's about 6,500 new symptoms and about 20,000 new remedies to the systematic alphabetisches repertorium. So I think we can say we are very far and very complete in integrating all this Berger-Boninhausen information.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd like to just comment, too, that it's not only that they've added these, but they've added them in a very, very precise manner. If you ever meet Dr. Schroens, you'll see he's about the most meticulous human being on the planet. Very, very precise. Okay, well, we're really out of time, so I want to thank everybody for being on the call. Frederick, especially thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to join us. And if everyone can just give Frederick a big thank you.
Yes, I was very glad to speak to all of you, and I think I will finish with a wish. I hope I will see some of you on the Greek island.
Okay. Thank you
very much.
Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you.